quick hit look at what's going on around the world of sports locally, regionally, and nationally. The 2-Minute Drill, brought to you by Alta Mortgage Financial on Utah's number one sports talk, ESPN 700.
2-Minute Drill here on the Bill Riley Show, live from Oxford, Mississippi today, presented by our friends at Alta Mortgage Financial. And talking some hockey to begin things, the Stanley Cup Final is underway, and half the Bay Area is happy because, well, they've got the Golden State Warriors with a win in their back pocket. The other half of the Bay Area maybe not so happy because the San Jose Sharks are down 2 games. They play coming up tomorrow night at home at the Shark Tank, and Scott Burnside covers the NHL for ESPN.com. Are you surprised it's 2-0 Pittsburgh right now, Scott?
Well, yeah, I guess I am a little bit. I spent all playoffs covering the Penguins, so I've watched San Jose from afar, and sometimes when you watch a team, sort of remotely, they take on a, I don't know whether mythic is the right term or not, but, you know, having watched them knock off their demons with the Los Angeles Kings and beat a very good St. Louis team in the Western Conference Final, I thought I wouldn't have been surprised if they'd split the first 2 games. I mean, Pittsburgh is, I think, probably the best team in the NHL right now, and that's easy for me to say. Now they're up 2-0, but, you know, watching their play down the stretch after Mike Sullivan took over as head coach, watching them knock off Washington, the President's Trophy winners, and then, really find a bounce back and beating San Jose after falling behind 3-2 in the Eastern Conference Final, I knew that the Penguins were going to be very difficult out for San Jose. But I thought they would be a little bit more evenly matched. And I know people will go, well, 2 one-goal games, one of them went into overtime. Really, those scores flattered the San Jose Sharks. Penguins had better chances, much more puck control, much more puck possession. Martin Jones has been very good for the San Jose Sharks to keep those games within reach for San Jose. The big boys from the Sharks haven't got going yet, but I think it's important. We were talking about this as we migrated west from Pittsburgh. Sometimes until a series gets going in both buildings, it's way too premature to judge what you think the outcome is going to be. Obviously, the Sharks wish they weren't down 2-0, but they're 7-1 at home this spring at the Shark Tank. So clearly, Saturday becomes the swing game in the series. Right? Again, self-evident. You go down 3-0, you're cooked. You make it 2-1, and all of a sudden the series is completely different.
Well, it's like any series. Until somebody wins on the road or a home team loses, they say the series really doesn't begin. We heard a little bit of complaining the other night, Scott. I don't know if this was gamesmanship or not. You're closer to it. Some of the Sharks players complaining about Sidney Crosby's face-offs. Is that gamesmanship, or is there something there?
Yeah, no, I think it's a bit of a red herring myself. There's no question. Sidney Crosby, I don't think he gets enough credit for his complete game, defensive side of the puck, and he's worked diligently on things like his shot and on his face-off skills over the years. I mean, he won 17 of 24 face-offs in Game 2, and none bigger than the very last one, where he essentially audible before the overtime face-off that led to Connor Sheary's overtime winner. Afterwards, of course, the Sharks, Logan Couture, most vocal about it, saying that, well, he cheats and the linesmen don't call it because he's Sidney Crosby. Maybe a little frustration from the Sharks, whose big guns, as I mentioned, have scored 0 goals in the series so far. And maybe a little gamesmanship, maybe a little bit of, hey, putting the pressure on the linesman to, watch more closely in terms of how the players line up. I mean, the faceoff is a world unto itself. There's all kinds of cheating and players, trying to get an edge on another player in terms of winning the puck or controlling it. Sidney Crosby has become very good at it, and he was excellent in Game 2 and really helped contribute to the defining moment in Game 2. So it'll be interesting to see where his numbers are at tonight, tomorrow night in Game 3, to see whether he can continue his dominance in the faceoff circle, or maybe, the linesmen are a little bit harder on him. So it'll be interesting to see whether there is any fallout after the whole cheating discussion in following Game 2.
Scott, before I let you go, I know the NHL probably wouldn't say it. I know there's not a ton of crossover, but it's probably not ideal from a viewership or at least an attention standpoint that the NBA Finals is going on in the same market, or is that not right?
Well, I think you can look at it two ways. I mean, I think you can look at a community that is, extra charged at this time of the year because both their NBA and NHL teams in the region are at the final stage of their season. I know certainly there have been issues earlier in the playoffs about attendance at the Shark Tank, and we know that attendance has bled away over the last 3 or 4 years in San Jose, in part because of playoff failures in the past, and of course missing the playoffs last year. If you were going to script this, would you have them going head to head with the NBA Finals? I mean, probably not. But I mean, something to be said for the synergy term. I mean, I still get a good vibe, you know, having arrived here yesterday afternoon, that, you know, people, you know, are wildly excited about the first ever Stanley Cup Finals game that will be played in San Jose on Saturday night. I don't think you can diminish that. But yeah, if you're sure, if you were going to script it a little bit differently, it might be the only game in town. That might be a better thing for the National Hockey League and the Sharks. But again, I hate to sound like a hockey player, but you can only control what you can control. And, we'll see how the fans respond to, you know, if they have to divide their attention between the basketball and the hockey. We'll see how it turns out.
Scott, thanks. Enjoy San Jose and enjoy Game 3 tomorrow night. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime.
Scott Burnside covers ESPN's hockey, and he's in San Jose for Game 3 tomorrow night. Speaking of San Jose, one of my Bay Area favorites. He's not a San Jose guy. He's more of an East Bay, kind of a Northeast Bay guy. He covers Real Salt Lake and now the Olympics for the Salt Lake Tribune, and he joins us here on a Friday. Chris Camrani on the Bill Riley Show on the 2-Minute Drill. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Bill. How warm is it down there?
It is. It's not so much the heat as it's the humidity down here. And I got to ask, are you ready to go on a moment's notice? Your guy Kyle Goon looks like he could keel over at any point in time. That poor guy's got a bad back right now.
Well, you got to be in charge, man. I need you to keep me posted. I need you to keep that Twitter account open. That's where I find all my news, is through you.
Okay, well, I'll keep it open, and I'll let you know how Goon's doing. Just be ready. Tell Bear to be ready to get the Tribune corporate jet ready to get down here in case Goon can't make it through the weekend. Were you a Sharks guy? I mean, you grew up in the Bay Area, but that's kind of San Jose and San Francisco are kind of two different things. You like the Sharks?
I wasn't really a Sharks guy growing up. I went to a couple games, but, I was always just my mom grew up in San Mateo area, so even though I was an East Bay guy, I was a Niners and Giants fan, so that's where Gotcha. We spent most of our athletic events.
So RSL finishes up the roadie, the six-week road trip, and they get 6 points out of it, and I guess all things considered, they sit in third in the Western Conference table. Is it too much to call the trip a success?
I mean, if you can average a point per game on the road, Bill, as you know in this league, I think you have to call it a success. If they didn't manage a result last night, 3 out of 5 is bad. But 6 and 5, I think you have to take that, considering, you know, they were beat up a little bit at times at the beginning of the trip. Aaron Mon missed those first couple games. Kyle Beckerman leaves for the last two. And I think you're looking at second place in the West and MLS going into this Copa America break. I mean, how many people thought that? I didn't think that. I don't know if you thought that either. So to get 7 wins, 23 points out of, you know, with 9 games, 9 out of your first 13 on the road, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, the offense is there too. They did it again last night. I know that that Jeff wasn't completely pleased with how the back four played against Columbus, but they seemed to be a bit more solid last night, and I don't know what they can tweak between now and the transfer window, but I think maybe you just get those guys more reps together, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, as you know in this league, it's hard for any foreign player to come into an adjust, right? I mean, Burrito Martinez kind of bunked that trend last year by coming in and having an immediate impact, but I think it would be tough for a center back to come in, probably out of shape, come into a team that's playing well, presumably, if they do sign a guy and he gets here, and you know, unseat Justin Glad or Aaron Mond.
Copa America begins tonight. Kyle Beckerman's there. I haven't seen Jurgen's lineup. I don't know if it's out for tonight yet, but I said a little while ago, Americans shouldn't have super high hopes for Copa America. Tonight's a big test. I think if they could get a point against Colombia, I think the goal is to get out of group play and see what happens, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, well, Jurgen said last week the goal was the Final Four. And then yesterday in his press conference, he kind of backtracked on that a little bit and said the goal was to win the group and get out of the group. But The toughest test is tonight, like you said. It's going to be hot in Santa Clara. I think they said the high there is around 99. So once, you know, it kicks at 6:30, it's going to be a pretty blistering 90 degrees. That might play into the favor of Colombia. But, yeah, I mean, a point tonight is paramount because Paraguay is a sleeper team in this group. And as we saw with Costa Rica at the World Cup and at Gold Cup last year, they have a talented team. So there is no gimme team in this group for the U.S.
Keep the bag packed and ready by the door. I'll keep you updated through the weekend on Goon status.
All right. Hot toddy, Bill.
Hotty toddy. Thank you, Chris. Chris Camrotti with us from the Salt Lake Tribune. That's 2-Minute Drill presented by Alta Mortgage Financial.